From the guy who's read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know, this is a Guy's Take episode. What is up, crypto economy crew? Welcome back to the show. I am Guy Swan, your host, and I am going to do a fun little read. This is actually just kind of a, it's not just one Twitter thread, it's a couple of different Twitter pieces, and it's more of an amalgamation, but it will still mostly be reading, because for anybody who knows, there's been a whole lot of Twitter drama lately, from mostly sparked by, or at least the discussion was sparked by the Blue Matt Carallo, the guy who did the Better Hash Protocol, a longtime developer for Bitcoin. Definitely should be following him. And he was mad at Samson Mao, and it appears that this had something to do with the original thread by Neil Woodfine, which we're actually going to read today. And there's so much, I guess, sensitivity. And I'm not hating on Matt Carallo here at all. I just mean in a general sense of how people have responded to conversations on Twitter, and the fact that, like, I actually have, like, my own little set of rules that I've been trying to build for the crypto economy and surviving in the Bitcoin ecosystem. And one of those rules, which could not be more important, is to grow a thick skin. And I don't mean that derogatory. I don't mean that like, oh, you're all a bunch of bitches. I just mean it's absolutely critical to do that. I think that's just kind of the nature of social media in general, particularly when we're talking about something that's connected to a mass movement that is that's around a culture of competition. And there's a number of different things that this whole thread seemed to start from, but I couldn't actually find the original source. So I'm going to read the original thread that I know had a lot to do with starting this debate, or at least from what I can gather. Then I'm going to read Samson Mao's response to all of this, just because Matt seemed to direct a lot of his frustration at both Neil Woodfine and Samson Mao. And then we'll kind of talk about it briefly. But this is just for the people who really just don't seem to know what's going on. And, you know, take everything as it is. Like, I'm reading essentially the perspective of one side of this whole thing. I will be interjecting a little bit of what Matt said, plus Asuna or later, S-O-O-N-A, just to give a reference to what's going on here. But let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to actually start with Suna's. This seems to have started the discussion. This was just before Neil put out his tweet storm, and I think this had something to do with it. And this is just three tweets really quick. It's responding to the original tweet that's being responded to is, every time I get a message from someone with the lightning emoji, it is usually unnecessarily hostile, mean, or downright threatening. LOL. So Suna says, really dislike virtue signaling Twitter, but here it goes. Be mindful of what you communicate. Enter a conversation with the intent to learn, listen, and be heard, not to humiliate and antagonize. A few bright Ethereum core developers have personally confided in me that they turned to ETH after feeling antagonized by the BTC community. Play the long game or you will lose talent. And not because Bitcoin wasn't receptive to more protocol changes, which Nick Carter has pointed out is certainly a feature, but because of personal issues. Now, this is actually a perfectly reasonable statement. Like, and like, from my perspective, like, at my heart, like, I'm a pacifist. I don't want to start shit with people. I love to debate with people who disagree with me, and I really like to find a common ground with those people so that we have some sort of basis to define our disagreement on. And I agree, the perfectly reasonable statement, enter a conversation with the intent to learn, listen, and be heard, not to humiliate and antagonize. You don't get anywhere with humiliating and antagonizing people. But at the same time, I think there's something very important in the fact that, and I think it's very basic in the idea of free speech and in sovereignty, is that I'm also, at the same time that I should come in with the perspective of learning, listening, and being heard, I should not, I'm also not responsible for how someone else feels. Like, I am 100% in control and in and responsible for my emotions in a situation. I can and should control that. And that includes when somebody's being a complete buffoon, an asshat, or perfectly nice and sensible. I still control exactly how I respond to it and what my emotional conviction is, or my emotional stability is in those situations. It may very well be more difficult in certain situations as to others, but that does not mean that I'm not responsible for it. If we all spent our lives trying to cater ourselves to the emotions of other people, we would spend our entire lives trying to make someone else happy in a task that is impossible. I cannot make my life about fixing other people's, like, social anxiety or uncomfort or something like that. And that's not to say that I shouldn't try, but it should not be my ultimate goal. And I think a lot of these conversations kind of dismiss the fact that even though you should do that, and this is not necessarily something that Suna is saying here. This does not necessarily mean that she's coming in with this presumption, but I do see this presumption a lot, that any, like, just minor, like, committing to what you believe, or not going out of your way to roll out the red carpet for someone who might feel uncomfortable or challenged in a social or emotional situation, is somehow evil or some terrible thing. And I don't think that's the truth at all. I still think it is that person's responsibility to find their own stability and comfort in a social situation, no matter how awkward it is. But without any presumptions and without any, like, taking it a step further from what these three tweets say, I actually agree with everything she says. You should play the long game. You shouldn't unnecessarily antagonize people for any particular reason. You should always come in with the intent to learn, listen, and be heard. So if there is no baggage coming into this to, like, for a broader agenda, there's nothing explicitly wrong with any of these statements, and I totally agree. But now let's hit Neil Woodfine's Twitter thread, which seems to have been the cause of a lot of this drama. And we're going to start at the beginning. And Neil Woodfine, you can find him, again, Suna was at Suna or later, S-O-O-N-A or later. And then Neil Woodfine is at N Woodfine, F-I-N-E. And I will link to all of this. I'll post all these Twitter threads so you can find all these people really easy. But let's go ahead and jump into this Twitter thread. Bitcoin deals with money, separating money from the state, managing people's life savings. People's livelihoods depend on it. The path of civilization is altered by the money it's built on. Dangerous, risky stuff. A lot is on the line. In addition to this, the vast majority of the industry surrounding Bitcoin is comprised of scammers and their agnostic enablers, fraudsters and charlatans that knowingly exploit the lack of understanding in this new technology to profit handsomely at others' expense. Bitcoin industry culture is therefore necessarily one of extreme skepticism, cynicism, rigorous review, and forthright language. Regardless of whether you're discussing Bitcoin development, business, or economics, no one is safe. Bitcoin is better for it. Dangerous products are rooted out quickly. Catastrophic losses are avoided. People know what's private and what's not. Damage caused by scammers is strictly limited. Dead ends are avoided early. Progress is sustainable. The system keeps running. If you're unhappy with Bitcoin culture, sorry, you're the problem. Bitcoin is better off without you. You're not cut out for the challenges ahead. You're not good under pressure. You're too sensitive, and you lack conviction. It is you that have to adapt to Bitcoin culture. Bitcoin should not be expected to adapt to you. If it did, Bitcoin would become weak, like you. You don't build a historic monetary paradigm shift wearing kid gloves. If you do manage to adapt, you'll discover that the Bitcoin industry is a very friendly, kind, supportive, and stimulating place. Everyone has time for each other. People are earnest. You encounter far less of the fakery and empty platitudes found in crypto circles. Try going to a Bitcoin-only event. Attendees are typically straightforward, collaborative, and technology-focused. If you somehow find yourself feeling broadly unwelcome, your ideas probably suck. You should revise them and be humble. Of course, you're never going to please everyone all the time. Despite what you may have heard, Bitcoiners don't agree on everything. You won't find two Bitcoiners that don't passionately disagree on something. But so what? Grow up. And if you still can't accept this reality, you're in luck, because Bitcoin is completely permissionless. All you need to get started is available online, where you don't need to interact with any oppressive Bitcoiners, who probably wrote the material you are reading. You are free to create as many industry groups as you like, opened or closed. Can't Bitcoiners just be friendly? Why, yes, we can. Within your popular, carefully managed, strictly moderated safe space, Bitcoiners will be very careful with their thoughts and words, I'm sure. Instead of focusing on who said what and how it made you feel when they said it, try doing something. Build something useful. Do you want to change the way money works forever or not? So there's something in this thread that I have to deeply agree with. And while I live by the rule of Suna and Jordan Peterson actually has some conversation on it that I think is most interesting about how he says, like, we always agree on something, and you should always assume in a conversation that the person you're talking to knows something that you don't, and you should always go into it as a conversation. And I agree with Suna's statement. Enter a conversation with the intent to learn, listen, and be heard, not to humiliate and antagonize. But at the same time, that does not mean adapt what you say or what you think for someone else to feel better about themselves, or so that you don't challenge or make them uncomfortable. If the decision is between making someone uncomfortable and speaking the truth, you speak the truth. End of story. And that is another principle which I live by. And I think this, I don't really see anything totally wrong in what Neil Woodfine has posted here. In fact, a lot of it is really important. First off, the vast majority of the industry surrounding Bitcoin is comprised of scammers and their agnostic enablers. And that's one thing that I think maybe people who haven't been here very long, they don't quite know where the, quote, Bitcoin toxicity came from. And it's funny because I have a very different, most people, it never seemed to originate with Bitcoin for me. When I've been here for 7 years, almost 8 years now. And it's been 8 years now, coming, I believe May was, I've had my 8 year anniversary sometime soon. And I kind of saw this happen. And what was funny is that it actually seemed to come from a response to the Ethereum and altcoin camps, because the dominance of Bitcoin, it was very easy for them to rally around hating Bitcoin and Bitcoiners in general. And the Bitcoin maximalists was a term that was created as an insult for Bitcoiners. I think Vitalik actually may have been one of the first people to use the term. And what was funny is that what ended up happening is that Bitcoiners kind of adopted the insult. It's kind of like the whole Yankee Doodle thing. It was first meant as an insult and a way to demean the other side, and then they basically just adopted it and, you know, gave them the middle finger. And I really saw a lot of that happening early on. Bitcoin was never apologetic. Like the Bitcoin culture, like if you talk to Peter Todd, like, and that's one of the things about, like, a good consultant is somebody who doesn't give a shit about your feelings. They're going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you exactly what they think. It does not mean it's the truth, because obviously, you can only speak the truth that you know. That doesn't mean it is the truth, but you should speak the closest to the truth that you know from your experiences and your perspective. And I want you to do the same to me. I don't want anyone to sugarcoat some bullshit or give me some faux, like, do not be a politician. Politicians are the lowest form of humanity. Grow a thick skin and be okay with someone disagreeing with you. We will never source anything. We will never be able to strongly believe what we believe if we can't stand up to some debate or someone challenging us. That does not mean be a piece of crap. That does not mean insult someone. That does not mean that you don't know economics or you're a stupid altcoiner. Those are not legitimate responses. That's not a debate. Those aren't points that you can debate on. You can't tell somebody what's in their head or what their experiences are or what they know about something. Those are just nonsense claims that can't be backed or argued. And there is a ton of that that goes on, but I don't think that's even closely like secluded to the Bitcoin culture. That is the nature of social media, basically. The biggest statement in this whole thing that I've seen retweeted and argued with is his point number 5. If you're unhappy with Bitcoin culture, sorry, you're the problem. Bitcoin is better off without you. You're not cut out for the challenges ahead. You're not good under pressure. You're too sensitive and you lack conviction. Now, it makes perfect sense that people would be really, really, really pissed at this statement. Anybody who begins to disagree with them would immediately take this as a personal insult, and it is you're not cut out, you're not good, you're sensitive, you lack conviction. Like, it's very, like, whoever is reading this, if you have a problem with anything I'm saying, here is what you are as a person. So, yeah, it makes perfect sense that everybody freaked out over that statement. John Newberry retweeted and said, totally wrong that some dudes on Twitter can declaim what Bitcoin's culture is and should forever be is ridiculous. We're still building the culture and we can make it better. And, you know, technically there's nothing wrong about that. Like, he's right. And Neha Narula said, no, you're really not. This is gaslighting bullshit. The entire thread is a travesty. Always question, never settle. And know that there are lots of us who try to debate, criticize, learn, and improve without being jerks. Now, I didn't see anything with Neil Woodfine's thread that said you should be a jerk. In fact, there was a lot about like in the context of trying to debate, criticize, learn, and improve. Is I think a lot of that is very much in being okay and being able to deal with being uncomfortable and someone, a debate is being comfortable with someone who disagrees with you vehemently or very well knows a position that is opposing to yours. And I don't see anything about, you know, not quite. I mean, I agree with this statement. Always question, never settle. Know that there are lots of us who try to debate, criticize, learn, and improve without being jerks. And if Neil is somehow trying to justify being a jerk here, which maybe his statement is being a jerk. Like, I don't know. I'm not one to get all sensitive about it. So, like, and I don't mean that as an insult to anybody who does, like, literally take offense to that. But in some ways, like, Bitcoin's culture, particularly in developers and stuff, like, there is a degree of hardness that should be desired in this. Like, Bitcoin is in for a huge, huge fight. And it's not necessarily that someone lacks conviction or is too sensitive, but there has to be developers who will develop and build in the face of a massive adversary, and arguably one of the largest adversaries in the world, which we would expect Bitcoin's end game to have to fight, that Bitcoin has to stand up to it. And that does mean there is a degree of being okay with people who disagree with you and being, like, openly debating and like shutting down ideas that you think are completely wrong very quickly. But I will admit, I will definitely, what's a good way of putting this? I will definitely concede that there are some people in who would be classified as Bitcoin culture that jump on the "you're a scam, you're an idiot, you have no idea what you're talking about" incredibly quickly. Like Peter McCormick was the blunt end of a lot of that very recently on his for just interviewing certain people. Granted, he does seem to play. He's been doing his podcast for a very long time, and he's read and clearly talked and discussed with a lot of people. And he still kind of plays the "I just don't know anything, I'm just a bystander" type card a lot. But I really value Peter McCormick's show, the What Bitcoin Did podcast, for anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about. And I think, I don't call him a scammer just because he had somebody on the show like Peter Risen or whoever it is that they're mad about, like at any particular time. So just outright attacking him seemingly for no reason or just because he entertained a difference of opinion, yeah, that's ridiculous. And I don't think that's really healthy, particularly if it becomes the norm every single time anybody disagrees or every single time some almost Bitcoiner has some difference of opinion or something. But there's a really, really fine line, particularly when it comes with how people interpret certain like discussions or certain responses. There's a really, really fine line between being blunt and unapologetic and someone thinking that you're a jerk or insulting them. And there is just as much, I think, of someone who is simply telling people what they think, and because it wasn't sugar-coated or because it wasn't presented in some nice, pretty package, or they didn't go out of their way to not say "you" or however it is that it's worded, that it's taken as toxicity or evil or just being a jerk or being baseless. And I think there are just as many people who overreact to something that's a legitimate statement and call it toxicity as there is actual toxicity, actual people just being an idiot or being a jerk. I don't see it in person. I see it on Twitter. So there's something about that statement that if you're unhappy with Bitcoin culture, sorry, you're the problem. To some degree, there's something that Dergigi actually has in his 21 lessons that he's learned from Bitcoin, talking about how you're not going to change Bitcoin. Bitcoin is going to change you. And Bitcoin is not going to adhere to your ideas of it or what you believe politically. Like when you come into Bitcoin, you end up discovering something that is this thing in and of itself, and it does humble people. It makes people realize that either they face the fact that they have been wrong about something. Peter Schiff is a great example of someone who is not humbled by Bitcoin because he refuses to accept that he's been wrong about the fact that Bitcoin is a bubble like 8 times. So, and that's one of those things that I think is actually a really important, it's actually a really interesting lesson that is learned when you're part of this, whatever you call it, culture or ecosystem or movement that is Bitcoin, is that it's more likely to change you than you are to change it. But I will definitely concede that a lot of people use it as an excuse to just be a jackass. That it is definitely used for arrogance that is attempted, that's trying to portray confidence. And that's a huge thing that happens all the time. There's so much misunderstanding between arrogance and confidence. And there's a lot of arrogance that people get because they were right about Bitcoin or that they chose Bitcoin and then they made money And so I'm the big dog. You're stupid. Anything that you say is wrong. Anything that I say is right. There is that. That's kind of basic human nature. And if John, anything that John Newberry or Neha Narula, anything that they meant, there's not a, the comments are a little bit vague, very general in that sense. But if they're talking about that, like, yes, we could definitely clean up the unbelievable arrogance that some people have about, quote unquote, having been right. And arrogance is not confidence. Confidence is when you don't need to be arrogant. Confidence is when you can totally be okay with someone disagreeing with you or someone challenging you, and it doesn't faze you. It doesn't mean confidence is not something that lashes out or calls somebody stupid, because confidence doesn't care whether or not that other person is stupid or not. Like, that is arrogance, and there is a lot of arrogance. So I'm not saying that Bitcoin culture is any poster child of perfection, but there is a degree of hardness with Bitcoin culture that I don't think you can separate from the challenges that Bitcoin is going to face in the future. I do not quite agree fully with the idea that if you're unhappy with Bitcoin culture, sorry, you're the problem. But I will say, I don't disagree with it to the degree that John and Neha did in their tweets. They seem to think that this is an utter silly statement, that we can be nice or like focus on inclusion and people's feelings and all that stuff, and that that's really important. And maybe in a general sense, you know, it's not a bad thing to do that. But Bitcoin is out for a fight. And not because Bitcoin is trying to start a fight, but because it is undermining the people who are completely willing to fight those fights and have shown for hundreds, thousands of years that they have no problem fighting dirty. And I think there is something in this thread that is absolutely worth listening to. And there is a bit of wisdom in having a strong social defense, same as having a very strong technical and network defense. And again, that doesn't mean being a jerk, but it also might mean not being afraid to be one. So take that as it is. That's kind of my perspective, that there is something in Neil's thread that I think is very, very much worth listening to, and I don't think it can be rejected outright as nonsense. You know, and I think there's one last thing to be said about toxicity and starting fights or being an idiot or an asshole or a jerk or whatever on Twitter. Is there's one thing that I saw particularly very early on when these block size debates started and we started to see the huge amount of infighting start to reach the community, as opposed to just, there was always developer infighting from the very beginning, really. And there still is developer infighting even with Bitcoin Core. Like, people don't agree on stuff. And that's kind of the nature of this thing. But there was something that I saw, which I think is, because it's not as obvious, it gets dismissed. And it is a sneaky kind of toxicity that a lot of people get away with. One person that I consider who has done it quite a bit, and I would argue was, and Gavin Andreessen is actually a decent example of this very early on, is he took the fight to social media when he couldn't get his way in the background, like in the private conversations. Not really private conversations, but like in the dev forums and stuff. He took it to build up a mob in defense of him. And there is a lot of, particularly because there are so many just nonsense altcoins, like just straight up people who are scammers, who are that, like, I am going to bleed these ignorant people dry and I'm going to make so much money off of it, that is here in the crypto economy, in the whole crypto space. Absolutely 100%. You cannot say it isn't. You know it is. And there is also a degree of quote-unquote toxicity that is that high horse toxicity, that is the, I am going to blame someone, I'm going to start a fight by blaming someone else for being toxic or a jerk or whatever, and I'm going to position myself that I am above this, but I'm going to do it by starting a fight. I am going to be toxic by pointing out that someone else is toxic who has not been. There was a lot of that early on, at least from my perspective. I did not see, quote-unquote, Bitcoin maximalists being toxic outside of the fact that they were legitimately calling some complete garbage projects scams. Like copy-paste of some coins were getting posted with some new names, and they absolutely should be called. There should be somebody saying, dude, this is a copy-paste of this coin. This is a garbage token. They are trying to make millions of dollars off of idiots. Do not buy this thing. This is a scam. I don't think there is anything wrong with saying that with the conditions and the situation that a lot of these coins were birthed from. And there was so much money to be made off the ignorant people. And so many of them still made money regardless of the actually calling them out as scams. But Eric Voorhees, definitely Gavin Andreessen, they definitely tried to stir up the social media. They went to social media to make people pissed off on their behalf in order to start shit, in order to start drama. And you could even argue that that's kind of what Matt Corallo was doing here. And I don't have anything against Matt personally, but this is the first that I heard of it, was him blocking Accelion and Samson Mao and making a big stink about it publicly. So there is something to be said that he was looking for social gratification for his choice. And I had no idea what was going on at this point. I saw that before I saw anything else. That is what led me down trying to figure out what the heck is going on here, where this came from, et cetera, et cetera. What started this whole fiasco? Now, to give him some credit where credit is due, let's go ahead and hit his tweets on this. First, the one that really did start all this was, the best decision I've ever made. I'm honestly pretty embarrassed to have helped co-found Blockstream. And then he's got a picture of Accelion has been blocked. And again, we're talking about Samson Mao here. And he has a tweet responding to a thread saying, the kind of, quote, let's be mean just because it's fun culture exposed by a number of Blockstream folks and their management is a lot of what's wrong with a small subset of the Bitcoin culture. And I kind of agree with this statement. There is a lot of, Samson Mao is a troll if there ever was a troll. He loves to antagonize just for fun. And what's funny is that really is what succeeds on Twitter. I don't care what you say, some of the biggest, most popular Twitter personalities that came out of anywhere are because they troll, is because they've got that, like, toxic, I'm going to challenge you on everything, and I know with certainty everything that I know and that I am right. That personality wins on Twitter. That kind of stuff is very widespread, and I see it everywhere. I try to branch out a little bit, but I want to cater my Twitter experience to just Bitcoiners and sometimes altcoiners whose perspective I think is at least a little bit valuable. For the most part, I agree that, like, being mean just because it's fun, like being a troll, is stupid. I personally try to shy away from it. I don't try to be mean to people. But at the same time, like, at some point I need to realize and I need to think or consider the fact that this is Twitter. And that is rewarded on Twitter. The people who troll are some of the most popular people on Twitter. The people who are incredibly certain and shut down in no time at all anybody who disagrees with them. See wild success on Twitter. So at some point, like, what am I going to do about it? You know, like, I don't have any say over how these people conduct themselves on Twitter, and I don't get to say what they should think or how they should behave, even if I disagree with it. All I can do is mold my behavior based on what I think is good. But at the same time, it's kind of entertaining. Like as ridiculous as all this drama was, it's kind of fun to dig into it. So, you know, I don't know. I'm very outside of all of this. I'm just kind of a spectator here. So, you know, maybe I have a privileged perspective over here that I can just kind of read these people's comments and then just say what I think about it. But, you know, nonetheless, that's kind of how it is. So anyway, let's take a break here, and we will jump into Samson Mao's response on this, on basically Matt's blocking of him on Twitter, because at this point, when I first heard or first saw Matt's post, I did not know what this was about, and I tried to find where this originated from, and I just could not find it. So hopefully what Samson Mao says is roughly true. Because he's basically the only one that has said anything about where this has started from, at least that I can find up to this point. So we will get there. Let's hit our sponsor really fast, and I'll grab a drink, and we will be right back. All right, and we are back. Let's go ahead and hit Samson Mao's response from this. It's like it's his own little 15-tweet thread, so we'll hit it pretty quick. And then I'm just going to just sum up my position and thinking on this whole thing. But before we do that, let's just go ahead and jump right into the thread. By Samson Mao. The reason people are confused about what's going on and can't find the trail is simply because the blue mat is being dramatic. I wasn't going to respond directly because it's so stupid, but it would be worse to not clarify and invite speculation. Hashtag Bitcoin drama. By making a massive deal out of blocking me, Matt, you couldn't just write it, but had to take a screenshot of Twitter UI showing the block, which is literally text in a blue bar. People are wondering if I kicked his dog or worse. Now there's a CoinDesk article. Jeez. Yeah, that was one thing I forgot to mention, is there's a whole CoinDesk article written about this, and now I'm doing a podcast episode, so this is hilarious how big this got in no time at all. Anyway, back to it. The starting point was this thread from N. Woodfine, Neil Woodfine. Too long didn't read. Bitcoin is very important, attracts scammers and frauds, and a culture has evolved to defend against bad actors' attacks. He went on to say that if you can't accept that culture, then too bad. I don't disagree with anything that Woodfine said. Neil is level-headed and simply pointing out the realities of the space. I believe his commentary was related to this tweet, and then he links to Suna or Laters, which I read earlier. And how we may lose, quote, bright devs to Ethereum because Bitcoiners aren't nice enough. Matt messaged me directly to complain about Neil and told me to, quote, keep him in line. Neil reports to me and heads up our marketing team. I told Matt that I don't police the thoughts of my team and that they are free to express their own opinions. What am I supposed to keep Neil in line with, exactly? Some standards set by Matt, or by some committee that dictates what is a proper opinion? This all goes against the very ethos of Bitcoin and principles of self-sovereignty. I don't even think Matt realizes this. Ironically, Matt enjoys the luxury to say what he likes at his current employer. Matt continued to complain, and I told him not to bother me on my weekend and that we can talk next week. I guess he didn't like that because on Monday he started the drama. That's it. Outside of Neil's commentary, several parallel discussions were spawned from the Suna thread and went into ethnic diversity, gender dynamics, and toxicity in general. I only saw bits and pieces of those, and apparently it got pretty heated. Quote, toxicity is complicated. Should we be nice to Ver when he uses his Bitcoin account and website to scam people? Should we be nice to companies when they tell us we have no choice but to accept Garzik's 2x fork? What is considered as toxic by one person may not be from another. There are many different forms of toxicity, too. I prefer Bitcoin Twitter open argument than methods like trying to silence people or getting them fired, which is just as toxic, if not more. The only difference is in the latter, the perpetrator gets to look good in public. It's a market of ideas versus backroom politics, much like Bitcoin versus fiat. It's funny how certain types of people that prefer those backroom politics are also the ones that complain the loudest about toxicity. During the Bitcoin Civil War, XT, Classic, and Bitcoin Unlimited, almost every CEO trying to hard fork Bitcoin was trying to silence me by getting me fired as COO at BTCC. Why? Because I was speaking against them and sticking up for devs like Matt. They'd even email our investors like Lightspeed. Now that's real toxicity, and it's the kind you don't easily get to see because it's not on Twitter. Fortunately, I didn't have to worry about my job because I was on the BTCC board of directors, had Pixelmatic, and am financially stable, but not everyone is in that situation. Toxicity is more complex than people that say things you don't like. It can actually get really toxic to the point that it can affect people's livelihoods. And it's also a very slippery slope when certain parties try to silence the opinions of others through back channels. Ultimately, not everyone will act how you want or say the things you want to hear. But if it bothers you a lot, you can block them and do it without being overly dramatic. I actually think this is a pretty fair response. And it kind of goes to the it alludes to what I was talking about with SegWit2x and the whole Bitcoin Civil War. There is so much toxicity that is happening in the background that they don't do in public, but that they will attack and try to destroy people who think differently than them or say things that make them uncomfortable. And it is only the public bluntness and just being trolling that gets called out. And I think it's just as important that you call out what's going on in the back doors, like what's happening in those private channels. And of course, they don't like getting called out. They'll call you toxic or, you know, an idiot or a scammer or whatever, just because you're bringing up what they did in some private channel. But if Samson is to be believed that this is all just based on wood finds, I don't see anything particularly wrong or like I think it's a valuable opinion. I like Neil Woodfine's. I don't agree with everything in it, but I also don't see anything that I particularly disagree with on any like principled front. Like I think he's entitled to think that, and it's kind of the messy thing about freedom of speech is people are gonna say shit that makes you uncomfortable, and at some point, we have to deal with that. You know, it's not, you can't, if Matt actually went into a back thing and said, you need to shut Neil up, he probably got what he deserved, really, which really wasn't much at all. He got, you know, called out for it. I have no ill will against Matt, but I have to say, I kind of lean towards Woodfine and Samson Mao in this particular instance. And I think Samson's response was for him pretty much always being a troll, pretty level-headed and kind of right. Like, this is not a black and white issue. There's a lot of gray area, and there is a ton of really nasty crap that goes on that is not just people calling each other stupid or scammers on Twitter, and they should not get the benefit of the doubt of doing the nasty thing in private. They should just as easily get called out, and if that's going to be called toxicity, well then so be it, because I think it's preferable to the backroom attempts at politically destroying or attacking other people, having that discourse open and out in social media is highly preferable. And I think pretending it doesn't happen everywhere, I think is just kind of ignoring the reality. There is a lot of let's be really nice in public, but be evil, nasty little shits with how we actually treat each other, either in private or in backdoors or in how we act and how we push to, great example, is that everyone was trying to get Samson Mao fired from BTCC, and that was not the only situation of that. Like, there was a lot of really messed up stuff that happened behind the scenes there. Bringing it out into the open, no matter how toxic or vehement it seems, I don't believe is, I believe is a preferable alternative. So I guess to sum up my take on this whole thing, hopefully I didn't make any enemies with this. I guess it doesn't really matter. I didn't feel like I insulted anybody. I was trying to be honest about my opinion, but, and I think I agreed a little bit with everybody involved in this whole Twitter drama, but kind of my standpoint is, yeah, you know, number one, don't be a jerk if you don't have to be a jerk. Like, listen to other people, and assume they know something. Don't assume they're a scammer unless you have evidence that they're actually scamming people. Some of the ways that, like, some of, like, how Peter McCormick was treated, I think, was ridiculous. And I think the quote-unquote Bitcoin culture to defend and or attack everything that might even kind of look like a scam, or even the suggestion that it might be, comes about, is really overblown. I think there's a whole lot of overactive immune system going on there. So don't be a jerk, you know? Give people the benefit of the doubt when you don't know what you're talking about yet. Two, if you have to choose between being a jerk, between saying what will make the other person comfortable and saying what you believe to be true, do not change what you say to make them feel better. Speak what you think is the truth. I think that's far more important than all of us feeling really nice. Three, open discourse is preferable to backroom politics. And Samson Mao basically said that. And that's one of the things I agree with most strongly in his little tweet thread here, is that there is a whole lot worse way to deal with this. Yeah, Twitter drama sucks, and it seems like really vicious, but it is not the worst of two alternatives. It is the better of what is usually the alternative, of what is usually going on. And then four, this is kind of the cost of the freedom of ideas, the freedom of speech. This is what you get. It's messy. And, like, you know, people are going to say stupid shit. People are going to be mean. And, but I think I want a world where freedom of speech is respected, where we do not censor people needlessly, that we are okay with people who disagree with us. Well, not necessarily that we're okay, but that we have to put up with it. That's the end game, is we can't do anything about it. And that will inevitably mean that somebody who I think is stupid or an idiot gets to say things that I vehemently disagree with, and I will take that uncomfort, I will take that annoyance in order to secure what I think is the most critical freedom that we have anywhere. And I want to build towards that world, and if this is the consequence of it, so be it. Not going to bother me a bit. So yeah, that's kind of my take on all this. It was a really interesting bunch of mess. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did not know what was going on, well, I just spread the Twitter drama further and wider. Go check out all these tweet threads. Let me know what you think. Let me know how I'm stupid and I don't know what I'm talking about. And I would love to hear it, because this shit's fun. And what a crazy, ridiculous thing all this Twitter drama is. If you think we should clean up or change Twitter culture, or I guess not Twitter culture, but Bitcoin culture, let me know why. And if not, let me know why you think maybe Woodfine, Neil Woodfine, is right in his thread. So yeah, with that, let's go ahead and close out this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like to be a supporter of this show, you can go to anchor.fm And at the bottom of the show notes of every episode, plus right there on the main page, you can see, like, become a supporting listener, and you can donate monthly, or you can go to cryptoeconomy.life. I've got a Bitcoin QR code and then also a tipping.me jar, a little button that you can tip either with an on-chain Bitcoin transaction or a Lightning transaction. And anybody who would like to do that, that is wonderful. Thank you so much. For anyone who does, we will be jumping back into some more reads tomorrow. I think I got a fun one lined up. I won't spoil it yet, though. And until then, the other way, actually, you can support this show, lastly, is obviously subscribe, but also spread it out there. Tweet it, share it with everybody you know in the crypto economy space who wants to keep up with and listen to all the best Bitcoin articles and all the developments and things that are going on in this space all around Bitcoin and the crypto economy. This is where you will find it, the Crypto Economy Podcast. I am Guy Swan, and I will catch you all tomorrow with another episode. Until then, take it easy, guys.